Welcome to the Christian Leadership Alliance Leader to Leader podcast. I'm Scott Brown, Vice President of Leadership Experiences and Resources for the Alliance. This transformational podcast series presents Christian leaders who will inspire your journey to thriving. We thank ECFA for their sponsorship of the Leader to Leader podcast. Trust is the cornerstone of impactful ministry. That's where ECFA comes in. For over four decades, ECFA has been a beacon of trust, holding ministries to biblical standards of financial accountability and governance. Today, more than 2,700 organizations proudly display the ECFA seal, signaling to millions of donors that their contributions are stewarded with utmost care. But ECFA's commitment doesn't stop there. Leadership is hard, especially in ministry. The pressures, the demands, and the weight of responsibility can leave leaders feeling burned out or isolated. That's why ECFA's new standard for leader care is a game changer. It's about creating a culture where boards proactively care for their senior leaders, supporting their well-being and integrity, not just as leaders, but as whole people. Now, please enjoy this Leader to Leader Journey to Thriving episode.
Well, I'm Vonna Lau. I've served ministries for over 25 years now. I started originally at a national CPA firm that served exclusively Christian ministries and churches, which was a lot of fun and a really good training ground. From there, I went into executive leadership with an accreditation organization that also worked with churches and ministries. And after my time there, had a time to really consider what was next and ended up doing operational and financial consulting with ministries. And through that, I primarily serve TEAM, which is a missions organization. And TEAM is a long-term organization. They've been around 130 years, but they're really looking at how they can make themselves relevant in the 21st century. So with all the things I get to do, serving InterVarsity and Crew in some limited ways and being on some boards, I find that I often say I'm never bored. And I think that applies to friends and colleagues and even organizations today, that we're just never bored. I think there are two major transitions that have been integral in my life that have taken me through a path of thriving. And the lessons primarily that have come out of that have been obedience and avoiding bitterness. And that's been just instrumental in that journey. So the first transition and the first piece of that is taking me back to 2016. And that CPA firm that I served and loved and was part of joined that straight after I got my accounting degree and served there through all of the different pieces of the organization, from a staff accountant all the way up to 2016. I had been serving for a while as the managing partner of a national firm that had 16 offices from New York to San Diego and multiple places in between, had nearly 200 staff members. We served over 1,000 ministries, and I considered myself a lifer there. And by that, I meant that's where I started and that's where I was going to finish my career. And then in 2016, there was this small voice that started to speak and say, no, that's not where you're going to be, and you've done what I've called you to do. And I did not want to listen to that voice. And listened for a little while and then brought my husband into the conversation. And we agreed that we were taking a trip to Kenya that summer with World Vision and that we weren't going to make any rash decisions until after that trip, which was wisdom in and of itself. And it was a great opportunity to get away from the day-to-day. And when I came back, it was an even stronger sense that my time at the firm was done. And I can tell you that I argued with the Lord about that. If you've not done that before, I suggest you don't waste your time. But I did. And I had a few specific arguments for him. The first was what I just said. I'm a lifer here. I plan to be here my whole career. And he said, no. And then I said, this is economically stupid. And he said, so. And I realized, that whole he has the cattle on a thousand hills thing, I think if he wants me to do something different, he can take care of me. And the third piece of it was that our oldest daughter was headed off to college. I knew it wasn't going to impact her regardless of our decision, but our youngest daughter was headed to high school. And I really wanted to make sure that we did that well. And I said, you know, Lord, disrupt my husband's life and my life in 4 years, but give us these 4 years. And he said, no. And so round one to the Lord, he won. And in the midst of that, then I had to consider what I say to the firm. And I had a 12-month commitment. I needed to give them 12 months notice if I was going to leave. And the 1st of September, I went to the partners and said, I really believe this is a matter of obedience. And if I don't leave, I think it's going to be detrimental to the firm, and it's going to be detrimental to our family. And they graciously agreed. And then I went into overdrive to wrap things up in 4 months' time and end at the end of that year. And my commitment to myself was that I wasn't going to entertain any offers. I wasn't going to look for a job. I wasn't going to get a resume together. I just was going to finish well. And so I had 150 meetings over the next 4 months to transition clients and tell them, hey, everything's fine. It's just me. To visit with network connections and update them on the fact that I was leaving the firm. And I will say that this left-brained, analytical, type A personality struggled with the I don't know, especially when the next question that people would always ask when I told them I was leaving was, what are you going to do? And I had to look at him and tell him I had no idea. That was really a matter of obedience. And so it was a difficult thing there. But coming out of that, I would say, you know, it gave me time to sit back and really rest in what God might have next. And so I created two lists because if you're going to get anything done, you have to have a list. And so I had one list of people that I really felt were kind of personal advisors that I knew would speak truth to me. And then a second list of just dream jobs. What would I like to do? I have no idea what's next, so let's dream. And over the course of a few months, worked through those lists and just allowed people to give me some input and speak into what I might do. And got to the point where I had identified what I really felt was probably my next career move. And outside of my husband and that organization, no one knew about that. And so was praying about it and trying to figure that out. And about a week before I was supposed to give them notice, I had three different people that either emailed me or called me and said, you know, I think you ought to talk to this organization. And it got to the point that I just started to laugh because they had no idea, but that was the organization that I was considering saying yes to. So it was just like the Lord gave confirmation that that's what the next step was for me. And so then went into round two with the Lord, and that was, I don't want to move. I love our church. I love our house. I love our neighbors. I love the school that the girls are in. Just all of that. We lived in Southern California. I loved the weather and really felt like the Lord was calling us to move. And I can vividly remember being on the 210 freeway, for those people who are familiar with California, and driving east. And I was just laying that all out. And I was talking about all the things I didn't want to do and why. And it was like the Lord listened quietly and then said, are you done? And I realized, game over, we're moving. And was willing then to say yes. And so we moved to Virginia. We'd never been east. We'd never been south. And we moved 4 days before our oldest daughter went to college, which was important to me. I wanted her to know where we lived so that when she came home at Thanksgiving, she wasn't knocking on random doors saying, are you my mother? Is this my home? And we got settled in there and then started the process of the new house and new church and new school and new job. And loved what I was doing there as well, and really settled in, felt professionally challenged, had the opportunity to really invest in ministries in a new and different way, got to do a lot of training and developing resources, which I enjoyed, even had the opportunity to be on Capitol Hill some, which for me was exciting and different and an adventure that was just a joy. So settled in there, was there for a while, and one day, about 18 months later, I went to work with a job, and I went home without a job. And there had been a leadership change that was made, and it was communicated to me that day. And then round three started with the Lord, and I was like, we moved to a place I didn't want to move to. There's not a ministry that I can work with that's under a two-hour commute. And this was in 2019, so it was right before the pandemic. Executives in ministry weren't working remote at that time. We had a daughter that was now firmly ensconced in high school, and I didn't want to move. And so spent a couple of days really struggling with why the Lord would have done that and would have moved us there. But after a couple of days, I had the chance to just sit back and say, it was clear. It was very evident. And I don't know why, but we're here. And anytime I would start to get fearful or angry, the Lord was incredibly gracious and allowed me not to become bitter about that. And actually had some fun, had a little bit of time. Number one, to get a gym membership, like who's ever had time to do that at that stage of life, to be able to have fun that with that. But also, I spent a month of my devotion time studying Be Still and really thinking about what that means and praying about what that means. And again, for someone who's competitive and driven and left brain, like there's no stillness. If I'm sitting still, I have to be doing something while I'm sitting. And so to take that time and study that, and then to try to incorporate it. And I remember one day sitting on the back deck, and it just was starting to sprinkle. And there was a little puddle on the deck, and watching individual raindrops hit that puddle and realizing it's absolutely beautiful. And there are these concentric circles that go out from a single drop. And that's how God is. And He's a God of order. And He knew the order of my life and the steps that He was going to take. That was just a real joy and a really sweet time. And all of that ultimately led to some great things that wouldn't have happened had it not been for that. My disciplines are pretty practical and pretty simple. Others have some really incredible disciplines that I strive to, but a few of mine, I don't have the radio on in the car. Drives my family crazy when they get in the car, but it's sometimes my only quiet time that I have during the day, and that's my time to just pray and be still, and I appreciate that a whole lot. One of the other things that I have come to be very disciplined about is each day I look at my calendar for that day. And I pray over every appointment that I have for that day at the start. And it does a couple of things for me. Number one, it helps me to keep focus on what's ahead and to make sure that I've given that to the Lord, that if there's a difficult conversation to be had, that I've already prayed about it. I don't get tied up in things and miss out on the opportunity. I tend to dive in. That's kind of my personality. And so I'll jump into a meeting and, you know, I might be 15 minutes in and think, I should have prayed about that before we got started. But I've already done that. And if I'm in the midst of a difficult conversation, I know that that's already been given to the Lord. And so that's a really important piece for me as well. So our transition to Virginia was really difficult. I would say that was our first experience with culture shock. It happens within the U.S. itself, and it was difficult for us to find a church home, which had always been our community. In addition, what I figured out after we'd been there a while and we're trying to understand why it was so difficult was that when we had made moves previously, we'd had younger children, and didn't realize the impact that has. But when you have younger children, you already have connections at school and at Sunday school and at extracurricular activities, and we didn't have any of that. And so finding that was difficult. We had some friends through work where I was working, and even after I left there, maintained some really good friendships there, which was helpful. But I'll say one of the biggest things for me community-wise was understanding the ministry community that we operate in. And when that last transition happened, I had people from around the country that reached out and said, hey, we're here. How are you doing? What do you need? There are a group of us that speak at several conferences, so we see each other at each conference, and actually found out that a few of them had been at a conference and said, Vana's not here. We need to make sure she stays plugged in. Who's going to make sure that she's at this conference? Who's going to make sure she's speaking there? And it just was this amazing group of people that God had orchestrated through all my years of connections at CLA and other places, that the ministry community nationwide was just part of my family and part of our family's family. And it is really important to have that connection and community. I started to participate with CLA when I was about 24 years old. So I have a real heart for young leaders and developing them. And I think we need to pour into them. They're not just going to appear and wait for us to do something. We've got to invest in them. And many of us over the years have tried to figure out programs and curriculums to draw them in. And what I decided a couple of years ago was we just need to come alongside them. And I only have so much capacity to mentor one-on-one with someone, but one of the things that 2 years ago I started were some peer mentoring groups for young female leaders. And so three young ladies get together with one seasoned leader, and there is not an agenda, but they commit for 1 year to meet once a month. And they're not in the same organization, and they're not in the same role. And so they just help each other with personal and professional struggles. And they dialogue together, and the seasoned professional's there to maybe keep them from going off the rails if there's something that they come up with that the seasoned person knows probably isn't going to work. They can speak into that. But began with two groups 2 years ago, have five groups now. Expect that'll probably be about 10 groups beginning this summer. And so my encouragement out of that is just that they find someone to network with and that they get involved, that they've got something to share. And so encourage them to participate in all the different ways that they can within their organization and within similar roles with other organizations. It's a lot of fun to see the giftings that exist within the leaders across our organizations right now.